Hello, everybody. I am Bill Buckmaster. This is The Buckmaster Show. It's Tuesday, January 29th, 2013, a snow day for kids in Douglas and Bisbee. The rain and snow in southern Arizona has blown through the area. A couple of cold nights still ahead of us before we have a nice warm and sunny weekend. The Buckmaster Show is live Monday through Friday, noon to 1, on AM 1030 KVOI, Tucson's intelligent voice. We stream our show at buckmastershow.com and at kvoi.com. We post the program to buckmastershow.com, tucsonsentinel.com, and tucsoncitizen.com. Plus, there are links to our show on the home pages of the Green Valley News and Soharita Sun at gvnews.com, and the homepage of Blog for Arizona at blogforarizona.com. During this noon hour, we talk with Bob Stump, Mr. Stump, the new chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission, which is very important in regulating energy rates in this state, among other duties. 20 minutes past the hour, the Tuesday Moneymaker Report with certified financial planner Shelley Fishman. 30 minutes past the hour, what about these rigorous academic standards that are coming our way for our public schools? We'll talk with our education expert, Dr. Robert Hendricks, about those changes. And we'll close out the show with Tom Collier, speaking of changes, who will be telling us about a big change for credit card users as of February 1st. Tom is the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs. You can join the conversation at any time. Our Buckmaster Show live line is 790-2040. And now let's go on to the live line to Phoenix and the new chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission, Bob Stump. Mr. Stump, how are you today?
I'm well, Bill. How are you? Thanks for having me on today.
Doing real well, and we wanted to have you on because the ACC is one of those agencies that many people in Arizona are not familiar with, but it is so important in our utility rates, among other things. Mr. Stump, how would you characterize what this commission will be emphasizing during your beginning now of your two-year tenure as chair?
Well, thanks, Bill. You know, I think what the five of us will be emphasizing are two things. First of all, we're going to be asking ourselves, what's the cleanest form of energy a utility can procure while also protecting ratepayers' wallets? And I think the second thing we're going to ask ourselves is, what can we do to best ensure a diverse energy portfolio for Arizona? Much as you wouldn't put all of your eggs in one basket in your financial portfolio, so too, a utility cannot put all of its energy eggs in one basket. We need to ensure a diverse energy portfolio so that we're not over-reliant on one form of energy at the expense of another. So I think those two principles will be foremost in our minds as we proceed over the next 2 years.
Commissioner Stump, for years, the Arizona Corporation Commission, it seems like all we heard out of that commission were solar this, solar that. I take it you're not ready to bet the farm on solar or really any one form of technology over another.
Well, I think when we emphasize a diverse energy portfolio, that means precisely that, that we can't put all of our energy eggs in one basket. And certainly in the case of solar, Arizona has made tremendous strides over the past few years. In fact, some people may not realize that we're actually number one in rooftop solar in the Southwest. Arizona added more residential solar in 2012 than in the past 3 years combined. And in fact, this prior commission helped more Arizonans procure more solar at a lower cost than any commission in Arizona history. And so we're making great strides, but by the same token, we do need to ensure that our energy portfolio is diverse, that we have many eggs in the basket, and solar is certainly very one important component of a diverse energy portfolio.
How about this? Go ahead, excuse me. Go ahead.
Oh, I was just going to say, so I think as we move forward, we will recognize the special place that solar has in our economy and in our state. We have tremendous solar potential that we're fulfilling. But by the same token, we need to ensure, as I say, that our portfolio of energy resources is also very diverse.
Currently, the utilities that operate in this state are mandated, Commissioner Stump, as you know. They must obtain at least 15% of their power from renewable sources by 2025. Will this mandate change under this current board?
It will not, and all of us have made promises to that effect. And the whole point of the Renewable Energy Standard was essentially to prime the pump and ensure the utilities achieved a bare minimum of compliance when it comes to solar and other forms of renewable energy. And in fact, Tucson Electric Power, which is probably of particular interest to your listeners, is in overcompliance when it comes to commercial solar in this area. APS is in overcompliance. They're going above and beyond what has been mandated of them. So regardless, really, of what we do, the utilities have taken charge and are procuring, I think, a diverse energy portfolio, while also recognizing that renewable energy does need to be part of that mix.
Bob Stump is with us on the Buckmaster Show. Commissioner Stump is the new chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission. What can this commission do? It seems like we have more and more intrusive behavior on the part of the federal government getting into our business, and I'm sure that carries over to our utilities. What can we do to ensure that Arizonans can have power coming from what they believe to be to the best interest of those in this state, Commissioner Stump?
Sure, absolutely. Well, first of all, we need to make sure that power is adequate, reliable, and affordable. And the three of those really do have to go hand in hand. Energy needs to be affordable for consumers. Utilities need to ensure that they get a fair rate of return so that they can indeed survive, so that when consumers turn the lights on or try to turn them on, they do indeed come on. And we also need to be very cognizant of what the EPA is doing. And in fact, my colleagues and I held a meeting yesterday to discuss potential EPA action on the Navajo Generating Station, which is of tremendous concern to all five of us. If the EPA is intransigent and is not willing to work with leaders in Arizona, then we may potentially see water rates going through the roof and electricity rates going through the roof. And so the actions of, quite frankly, the Obama EPA are of tremendous concern to the five commissioners on the ACC, and we're going to take whatever action we deem necessary to ensure that Arizona's interests are put first.
We've talked with David Modier of the Central Arizona Project about the importance of the Navajo generating plant, and many consumers may not understand that is really what is moving the water through the CAP. And with these, you mentioned water rates could be potentially going through the roof.
That's correct. And the utilities are in negotiations with the EPA as we speak. They are, I don't want to say cautiously optimistic, but they're optimistic that the worst-case scenario of potentially a $1 billion hit to Arizona ratepayers will not come to pass. But the price tag may end up being $500 to $600 million, which in and of itself will be quite a blow to the state. And all of us care about the environment. All of us want cleaner air. But we also have to make a cost-benefit analysis, because some of these regulations that are put in place will, in fact, end up hurting families' pocketbooks. And I'm worried, as many of your listeners are, that bureaucrats in Washington, frequently right out of law school, are not sensitive to the concerns of Arizonans. They're not sensitive to the real impact that their decisions made in Washington, D.C. will have on Arizona's pocketbooks. And the Arizona Corporation Commission, all five of us, all five Republicans, are standing together to make sure that the EPA, within our power, is not intransigent, but in fact the EPA is going to listen to the concerns of Arizonans who are already strapped so badly in this economy.
Talk a little bit about the rates. Do you see any rate increases on the horizon for those of us here in southern Arizona with our two major providers, Southwest Gas and Tucson Electric Power?
Well, Tucson Electric Power has a pending case, and since we sit as judges, I can't legally talk about it because I'd be prejudging and have to actually recuse myself from the case. But I can tell you that TEP is in negotiations with a variety of parties. They're actually settlement negotiations to try to come to an equitable solution for all the stakeholders involved. And I think it's important to note, too, that all five of us consider ourselves ratepayer champions, and in fact, taxpayer champions. And several of us served in the legislature and received the frankly, the Champion of the Taxpayer Award, which all of us are quite proud of, which means that we're going to put ratepayers first. And we recognize that in this economy in particular, ratepayers are struggling. And we need to ensure that they get the best bang for the buck from utilities. We need to ensure their bills are as low as possible. And I'm confident the five of us are really going to be on the same page on that, and will operate with that principle in mind, putting ratepayers first, especially in this economy.
Got about a minute and a half left, but I do want to touch on that Arizona did dabble, as you know, briefly with the concept of electric competition a decade ago. In other words, opening up electric utilities to interstate competition. Is that again on the table?
Well, we're going to be examining that, and I think all five of us are going to be examining that very dispassionately and make any decision we make based on the facts, how it's worked in other states. Certainly California's implementation, I think, was tremendously flawed and is really not a very good model as to the potential outcome of any decisions we make at the commission. I think Texas is probably a better model, and a few other states in which it appears to be working relatively well, but it needs to work for Arizona. And first and foremost, it needs to work for residential ratepayers. And I know all five of us are committed to looking at it with an open mind. But if residential ratepayers are not going to benefit from it, then it certainly is not going to be on the table moving forward.
Commissioner Stumpf, thanks for spending a few minutes with us, and we'll look forward to talking to you often. Thank you.
Thank you, Bill. I look forward to it, too.
Thanks a lot. Bob Stumpf, he is the new chair of the Arizona Corporation Commission. He will be chair for at least the next 2 years on a very important commission that regulates utilities and sets rates here in the state of Arizona. This is the Buckmaster Show. We're pushing 12:16 now on this Tuesday afternoon. Coming up next, our certified financial planner, Shelley Fishman, with the Tuesday Moneymaker Report. The economy, the economists seem to be more and more optimistic. We'll talk with Shelley about why that's the case after we hear from the fine lineup of Buckmaster Show supporters.
Hi, this is Al Zaragoza, the voice of Culligan Water in Southern Arizona. You know the benefits of soft water, right? Softer laundry, softer skin, hair, and spot-free glasses. And once you have soft water, you can't live without it. But did you know a Culligan high-efficiency water softener saves up to 46% on water, salt, and energy compared to a time clock water softener? Now that's efficient. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener really is the world's most efficient water softener. So put it to work in your home and start saving today. It virtually ends hard water spotting throughout your entire home, from your glasses to the shower doors. In fact, it makes all your high-efficiency appliances work better and last longer too, like your dishwasher and washing machine, even your water heater. A Culligan high-efficiency water softener delivers real soft water and real savings. Call Culligan Water at 792-9700. 792-9700. Culligan, better water, pure and simple.
Inside Pyramid Federal Credit Union, customer service is what we do. Outside, community service is who we are. Inside, we help generations achieve their financial goals. Outside, we help those in need. We reach out to our members. We reach out to our community. Because Pyramid Federal Credit Union is passionate about one thing, people. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local independent nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
The nonprofit Tucson Animal Rescue Organization, Tucson Wildlife Center, is in the midst of a capital campaign to build Arizona's first state-of-the-art hospital for wildlife. The facility will help staff and volunteers care for nearly 1,000 raptors and mammals it receives each year at its Far East Side facility. To donate online, go to TucsonWildlife.com. For more information about wildlife rescue, visit the website or call 290-WILD.
The Rugg Gallery is celebrating its 25th anniversary jubilee celebration with a colossal tent sale, offering up to 75% off at La Encantada Shopping Center at Campbell and Skyline in Tucson. With over 2,000 hand-woven imported rugs from around the globe, the Rugg Gallery has rugs just right for your home or the largest palace. With an international reputation, the Rugg Gallery has graced the cover of Christie's magazine and is featured in many other high-end publications. Stop by and check out the Rugg Gallery with Arizona's largest in-stock inventory of fine, high-quality, hand-woven, imported rugs during the colossal tent sale with up to 75% off at Tucson's La Encantada Shopping Center in the foothills of the Catalinas. Or visit the Rugg Gallery online at ruggalleryaz.com/sale or call 571-RUGGS.
The RTA, delivering our promise to you, completing more than 500 projects since its inception in 2006. Projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and the Kolb Road extension at Tanque Verde. Please watch for workers and obey all traffic signs. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel in our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is one of Southern Arizona's crown jewels. You will find that the services and amenities offered at Splendido rival those of a fine resort. But what sets Splendido apart is a continuum of health care that allows for a full life today, knowing tomorrow is secure. As a true continuing care retirement community, Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial services professional located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. The opinions voiced on this program segment are for general information only and are not intended to provide specific advice or recommendations for any individual. To determine which investments may be appropriate for you, consult with your financial advisor or tax advisor prior to investing.
And we welcome Shelley Fishman, who is at an investors meeting up in Phoenix, joining us on the Buckmaster Show live line. Shelley, how are you today?
I am well, Bill. How are you doing?
Doing real well. The Dow Jones Industrial Average is up again today, now just south of 14,000. When we go over 14,000, we'll be in near record territory. Shelley, what's driving this?
Well, there's several things driving this right now. I think primarily, there's some optimism about the Congress working together to eliminate some of the remaining fiscal cliff issues. Mostly, I believe what's driving this, however, are two main factors. The first is that corporate profits appear to be better than hoped for. About two-thirds of the companies reporting so far for the fourth quarter have exceeded their sales projections, and three-quarters have exceeded their profit projections. So that's one thing, and that always drives markets. The other thing is that Europe seems to have their banking crisis behind them, though they're in their so-called real economies, there are still some problems in the periphery. But everything is pointing to some better results. Now, we've got some consumer sentiment issues that are kind of in the way, and we never know exactly what's going to happen in Washington. I can tell you that I just heard a new projection from my broker-dealer, from LPL, and they're looking for single-digit growth in markets this year, and they're even saying low single digits. So I'm at variance with my broker-dealer on this one, but by no means do we have unanimity of opinion, but I think what I'm hearing and seeing from most of the analysts I work with is a lot of optimism.
Shelley, let me go back to that, the LPL financial, I guess, can we call him a guru or whatever, predicting low single-digit growth, that is in that is opposed to what you are predicting, because I believe you're predicting low double-digit growth for the year. Why the bit of pessimism from the gentleman with LPL?
Well, the way the LPL econometrics works is they take a look at what they think their base case is or what they think their worst case, best case, and then middle case. And then they modify those numbers to show the influence of what could go wrong. Their biggest problem, I believe, is taking a look at where the emerging markets have slowed down, and that is, I think, driving somewhat lower projections. However, in this briefing we had today, they did mention that it looks like even the emerging market situation is better than they had expected. So, you know, I'm thinking that when we see their modification toward the end of the first quarter after Congress is done, we'll see a higher projection, unless, of course, some of the worst-case scenarios do come to pass.
So what does this mean? Let's take the optimistic road here, and what this means for the investors listening to this program.
Okay, what it means is what I've called a renormalization of markets. It means that equities, especially high-quality equities, are going to outproduce the bond market, outproduce fixed income. It means that we're seeing continuing lower yields from things that are correlated with treasury bonds. In other words, the most safe investments you could make, which is United States treasuries, are in the 2-3% yield, depending upon the duration of the bond. And we're going to see equities outpace that. We began to see it in 2012. I believe we'll see it again in 2013. The other thing we have to worry about, of course, is this normal business cycle, Bill, where we have recoveries. Recoveries typically last 4 or 5 years, and then we can get pullbacks, corrections, or even you know, recession. So one of the things you have to look at, and a possibility of it happening even this year, though I don't think so, would be that the economy naturally slips back into a slower growth or even a recessionary period, just as a function of the business cycle.
That would seem, though, to be highly unlikely, because it seems that we're still in this growth period. Am I correct there?
I think so. That's my opinion. Lots of people who follow these things have different opinions. Some of them are right, some of them are wrong. I think that caution, even in a period of growth, and we've had now, entering a fifth year of a tremendous bull market, I think that you still have to be cautious. You still have to be careful how you balance, and you have to stay on top of the news all the time.
Tell me a little bit about how you are balancing the portfolio for your investor, Shelley Fishman.
For my investors, I am lightening up on treasuries. For clients who continue to need a heavy weighting toward fixed income, we're moving toward three things: muni bonds and muni bond funds. We're moving toward higher yield bond funds, and we're moving toward emerging market sovereign debt funds. Those are the fixed income drivers, I think, for this year. And then also looking at high dividend paying U.S. stocks and some exposure to the European stock markets in those economies that are emerging from recession. That would be Germany, Netherlands, Sweden, Norway, etc.
Are we on an emerging market cyclical situation where the emerging markets are on the upswing?
Yeah, you know, they were a little pulled back in 2012. We now see China moving more toward the 8% or 8.1% growth. So, you know, as China goes, they just pull so much with them in terms of their need for raw materials, for commodities, etc. So if China begins to show signs, and it's always difficult with China to know what you're seeing statistically is real or not, but if China shows signs of continuing improvement, that will, I think, signal continuing improvement throughout the rest of the emerging market economies.
When does China not become an emerging market but already emerged?
Well, you know, the function, it's not the size of the economy so as much as the size of the average person's income in that economy. When you have discretionary income and total earnings per capita that are, you know, below what we would consider poverty level in this country, then there's a lot for that economy to do to continue to grow. So growth isn't necessarily the absolute size of the economy. It's the growth potential within the economy.
Shelley Fishman, always a pleasure. Where can people get a hold of you?
On the Bill Buckmaster website.
BuckmasterShow.com. There's a link to Shelley Fishman. Shelley, have a great day.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
Thanks a lot.
The opinions voiced in this program segment are for general information only and are not necessarily those of LPL Financial, Pyramid Federal Credit Union, or this station. Shelley Fishman, CFP, is a financial planner located at Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Securities offered through LPL Financial, member FINRA, SIPC. Insurance products offered through LPL Financial or its licensed affiliates. Investment and insurance products are not NCUA insured, not credit union guaranteed, and may lose value.
With SRN News, I'm Wally Hines in Washington. A federal judge has signed off on a criminal settlement for the massive BP oil spill in the Gulf of Mexico almost 3 years ago. Under the agreement, BP will plead guilty to manslaughter in the deaths of 11 workers and pay a record $4 billion in criminal penalties. Now it's up to the Senate to decide whether one of their own, John Kerry, will be the new Secretary of State, succeeding Hillary Rodham Clinton. The Senate Foreign Relations Committee this morning approved Kerry by a voice vote. The full Senate will likely vote later this afternoon. Another vacancy in the president's cabinet, Transportation Secretary Ray LaHood, is stepping down. He says he'll stay on until his replacement is confirmed by the Senate. That's expected to take about 2 months. On Wall Street at this hour, the Dow up 67 points. More details at srnnews.com.
Hey, we're at this incredible event put on by who else but Arizona Party Rental. Everybody who's anybody is here, aren't you?
This is John Fina.
You're...
This is Jim Lubinsky.
I know that face.
I'm Bruce Peet.
Hey there.
This is Andy Brown.
Great to see you.
Hi, this is Burt Williams.
I thought I just saw you at...
This is Bob Schaff.
Thanks for coming.
My name is Jerry Fitzgerald.
You look familiar.
Dave Fitzsimmons.
Gosh, it's great to see you.
This is Chris Edwards.
Hey, come on in.
This is Rita Marshall.
I didn't know you were coming.
This is Bill Huss.
Can I get you anything?
Hi. Richard White.
Hey, how you doing?
Bill Viner.
Hey, this is Ken Flower. You can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Want the best care for your companion animal? Then Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson is the place for specialty vets for your special pet. With a state-of-the-art, award-winning facility, only the Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson delivers compassionate, comprehensive veterinary emergency and specialty care 24/7 in a wide range of fields. Veterinary Specialty Center of Tucson at North La Cañada Drive at West River or online at vscott.com. That's VSCOT.com.
There are a million people in metropolitan Tucson, and they have a million stories to tell. That's why there is TucsonCitizen.com, the voice of Tucson. Nearly 100 citizen journalists and bloggers, including the Buckmaster Show, report the news and provide perspective, opinion, and information about everything from local politics to the Arizona Wildcats. Visit TucsonCitizen.com today to read what you can't find in traditional media or to contact us to add your voice to the voice of Tucson, TucsonCitizen.com.
Why should you fly out of TIA? Easy. Do the math. First, airfares are extremely competitive, so you won't spend more on your tickets. Second, you'll save at least 4 hours of your precious time, not to mention a bunch of money on gas. Third, covered parking right by the terminal is only $9 a day. And fourth, TIA offers daily nonstop service to many of your favorite destinations. So, what does it all add up to? Easy. Fly TIA. It's the way to go.
If you love antiques like I do, I strongly suggest a visit to Adobe House Antiques, specializing in early 20th century European and American Western art. They also have a fantastic selection of antique light fixtures. Adobe House Antiques in the Jostler Design Building at 2700 North Campbell. Adobe House Antiques, 325-9439. That's 325-9439. Vero Amore restaurants are known as the place for authentic wood-fired Neapolitan pizzas, plus delicious pastas, panini, salads, and more. Every flavorful dish is homemade using the finest and freshest local and imported ingredients available. Vero Amore has two locations open daily, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain Boulevard in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events.
Karen, could you run to the supply closet for some trophy polish, please?
Do we have trophy polish?
Well, we better find out. See, I just called Cox Business to give our company faster internet and great phone service.
Oh, good.
They've got a J.D. Power and Associates Award, Karen, and they're going to be here any minute.
So you think they bring the award with them wherever they go?
Put it this way. If you were ranked highest in customer satisfaction, wouldn't you?
Maybe.
I just want to be prepared, Karen. I just want to be prepared.
Shine up your business with Cox Business. Ranked highest in customer satisfaction among data service providers for small and mid-sized businesses. Power your office in Phoenix with Cox Business and take advantage of our special offer. Bundle Cox Business internet and phone for only $95 per month. Switch to Cox Business today. It just makes sense. Visit coxbusiness.com for offer details. Offer valid until April 1st, 2013. Prices exclude taxes and other fees and may be subject to minimum service requirements. Other restrictions apply. For J.D. Power and Associates award information, go to jdpower.com.
For more than 40 years, Pima Community College has helped our neighbors realize their dreams, prepare for meaningful employment, improve their quality of life, and build a better community. We haven't done it alone. Your continuing investment in education has made it possible for us to prepare hundreds of thousands of Southern Arizonans for jobs. Today's PCC students will be tomorrow's firefighters, nurses, police officers, teachers, and small business owners, the backbone of a smart, thriving Tucson and Pima County. Our region has not been immune to the unprecedented economic challenges of the past few years. During this time, PCC has prided itself on offering crucial programs and services at an extremely affordable price. We remain one of Arizona's best education bargains. With your ongoing support, we look forward to embarking on new directions and building new community connections that ensure the people of Pima County will prosper today and in the future. For more information, contact us at 206-4500 or visit us at pima.edu. Pima Community College, developing our community through learning.
Welcome back to the Buckmaster Show. This portion of the program brought to you by Splendido. Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley, a true continuing care retirement community for adults 55 and better. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com. 12:37 now on this Tuesday edition of the Buckmaster Show. Well, more rigorous academic standards are coming to Arizona public schools this year, but the transition, which some schools have already begun, will be difficult and expensive. We talk about that now with the Buckmaster Show contributor on education, Dr. Robert Hendricks. Dr. Hendricks, Associate Professor Emeritus at the University of Arizona College of Education, where he is former head of the Department of Educational Policy Studies and Practice. He's taught organizational theory, human resource management, and policy at the master's and doctoral level. He's the former superintendent of Flowing Wells. Dr. Hendricks was named top Arizona superintendent in the year 1989. Dr. Hendricks, Bob, how are you today?
Good, Bill. Good to see you.
These core standards are intriguing, and they are huge changes if they come to pass, and I guess they are going to come to pass, correct, in Arizona?
A welcome change. We've talked about standards for years, but there's something very unique about the Common Core standards, which I think is going to hopefully be a turn for the better in preparation of students. For one thing, we're moving away from the idea that each state has its own unique value or own unique standards, and that the idea that Arizona standards might be different than those students are learning in Iowa or New York State. We have a common group of standards which have been nationally agreed upon that Arizona has adopted. They've joined 46 other states. And so now when we talk about Common Core, we're talking about a set of standards of learning principles that most all states have agreed upon. And not only do they agree upon them, but they're internationally benchmarked.
Can you talk about some of the standards?
Well, the two standards that we're launching, or actually have launched in kindergarten through second grade and will be launched for the rest of the grades next year, are in mathematics and language arts. Science shall follow soon, but these are the two core subject areas that, you know, will be the beginning of this new standardization of learning principles.
And the kindergartners are being introduced to, I guess, basic algebraic concepts.
Well, here's the other piece of it. Not only is the standardization a good thing, but the idea that we are now moving away from rote learning, that only fact resuscitation, which previously was measured by our own Ames test, we're going to be going to a different level where creative thinking and more complex kinds of problem solving will be part of the standards.
Why are some districts complaining this is going to be very expensive to implement?
Well, for one thing, teachers are going to have to be trained. It may seem relatively simple that teachers can deliver instruction this new way, but we have at least a generation of teachers who have been conditioned to teach by simply drill and kill. Mm-hmm. And now we're talking about a different method of learning, and teachers are going to have to learn how to teach with those higher level thinking skills that are beyond just drill and practice.
And the Ames test, so many of the teachers have been training to get the kids to pass the Ames
exactly.
test.
Exactly.
Now that's going to go away, I guess, right?
Well,
by 2017?
Most of the, yes, and yeah. By 2017. And most of the Ames test really is fact recall. And if you listen to the business community, which I think has a very important voice, the graduates of many of our public and private institutions are not doing well because they can't apply the facts into real-life relevant situations. And so the community is applauding the idea that we're going to this higher level of thinking.
The business community has almost been unanimous in their support of the implementation of the new core standards. A parade of speakers recently went before three different House committees up in Phoenix talking about how important it is, Bob Hendricks, to get the kids to start thinking critically.
And this is going to be helpful, Bill, not only in terms of progressing on the educational front, but I think the business community has a great deal of political clout to convince the legislature that they're going to have to put some money behind this movement. Not only are we going to have to put money into teacher training, but we're also going to have to upgrade technology as well. The technology advancements that are available to augment teaching are really, really important in this movement. Also, the new test, which has an acronym, which I actually have to read here, it's called PARC. The Partnership for the Assessment of Readiness for College and Careers, That's the one that's going to replace Ames, is going to be an online test.
Really?
Yes. And so there's going to have to be computer technology for that. But beyond the using the computer as a vehicle to give the test, the computer is really, really important for a widespread application in daily teaching.
Would you say this is one of the biggest shifts in educational teaching in many, many years?
I think it's huge. I think it's huge. And I think that before we get too excited about it, we have to really count on the state to come through to put some money behind this, because that teacher preparation, that enhanced technology, is really going to be critical. To simply mandate this And if you look at other states who have done it, they have put a great deal of money behind this. They've supported it. So we've got to support it too. The state, if they believe in this, and they certainly have indicated by legislative mandate that they do, they have to put some money behind this.
The state required schools to implement Common Core in kindergarten through second grade classrooms this year.
That's correct.
And then rolling out to all classes next year. So there's no, there's not going to be much lag time here before everybody's up to speed.
That's correct. But the actual formal assessment of it will actually roll out in, you know, several years with actually the first implementation in 2015. AIMS will go away in 2017. So there's also that concern of a two-year gap where, you know, what's going to happen if both tests will be given simultaneously. Perhaps the new test will be piloted while the AIMS test, you know, finally phases out. Well, we don't know. There's still some unanswered questions about how this is going to work logistically.
Are you glad to see AIMS going away?
I am. I think I think AIMS perhaps fit a purpose during a period of time because there was no real formal assessment in the state of Arizona. But the idea of seeing AIMS, which really was a factual yardstick, being phased out and with this new, more relevant style problem-solving test is going to be important.
Dr. Robert Hendricks, thank you for being with us. We'll look forward to your conversation on education in February. Thanks a lot.
Sure.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Finding the perfect Tucson rental home is now easy thanks to Tucson Rental Homes, which offer high-quality 1, 2, and 3-bedroom luxury rental homes with private gated yards in a classic Santa Fe-style architecture. Designed, built, and managed by Tucson Rental Homes, prices start at just $750 a month. Check out our many homes now available at TucsonRentalHomes.com.
Biosphere 1 is the world we live in. Biosphere 2 is an amazing reflection of Biosphere 1, a UA Science Innovation Center transforming, not conforming. Making ideas happen, like the massive new mountain slopes of the LEO project, which is reinventing Biosphere 2 into a remarkable enterprise for 21st century discovery and imagination. The impossible is possible. Biosphere 2 embraces the complexity about the future of the planet, developing and testing sustainability strategies essential for a better life. Become part of this center that is becoming the incredible new UA Biosphere 2. See why Time Life Books named it one of the 50 must-see wonders of the world. The University of Arizona Biosphere 2, an inspiring adventure for visitors with guided behind-the-scene tours. Open daily, north of Tucson, America's Science City.
Think credit unions don't have the locations or ATM networks that the big banks do? Think again. Pyramid Federal Credit Union offers fee-free ATM access at 120 ATMs in Southern Arizona and 60,000 ATMs throughout the country, plus free shared branch access at credit unions nationwide. And the convenience continues online with free bill pay and 24/7 online banking. So no matter where you are, you're just around the corner from Pyramid Federal Credit Union. What are you waiting for? Open your account today. Pyramid Federal Credit Union. Improve your financial life.
This is Ken Flower of Arizona Party Rental. Here's what our customers are saying about us.
They always go above and beyond to make sure everything is just perfect.
Nobody does it better than Arizona Party Rental.
They are one of the most professional group of people I've ever worked with.
They maintain high standards and deliver five-star service.
Arizona Party Rental always comes through with a smile.
Their selection is amazing, their advice terrific, and their service is remarkable.
Thanks a lot, everybody. Hey, you can join the party, too. Go to ArizonaPartyRental.net.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastro pub, serving an impressive menu of craft beer and fine fare. Choose from more than 175 beers from around the world, plus wine and a full bar. Enjoy delicious soups, salads, burgers, sandwiches, hearty entrees, and more. Craft beer, fine fare, great service, and stunning views. Noble Hops, perfect for lunch, dinner, late night, and any time in between. Open daily at La Cañada and Lambert Lane in Oro Valley.
Since 2006, the RTA has been delivering our promise to you, finishing more than 500 projects. Current projects underway include the modern streetcar in downtown Tucson and La Cañada Drive from River to Ina. Please use caution and obey all traffic signs. The RTA has ongoing support of expanded SunTran, SunVan service, and SunShuttle neighborhood service. Your tax dollars create jobs and make travel around our region faster and safer. The RTA, delivering our promise to you.
Splendido at Rancho Vistoso in Oro Valley is a very special place, offering a continuum of health care in a resort atmosphere. Splendido received two 2007 Best of 50 Plus Housing Awards from the National Association of Home Builders for overall best continuing care retirement community and interior design. Splendido offers priority access to on-site assisted living, skilled nursing, and memory support care if ever needed. Find out more at SplendidoTucson.com.
$12.50 on the Buckmaster Show. This portion is brought to you by Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, where historic downtown Silver City will be awash in gourmet chocolate on Saturday, February 9th, just in time for Valentine's Day. And we're calling it, or they are calling it, and we'll let you know about it, Chocolate Fantasia, featuring two dozen purveyors of sweet stuff. So you buy one ticket, and then you get to sample nearly two dozen different chocolates from different vendors. You can find out more about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico, including the fine places to stay in the Silver City area, including Agave Ridge Retreat, Axel Canyon Preserve, and Bear Creek Canyon Cabins, Bear Creek Cabins at southwestnewmexico.org. Well, if you're going to be using a credit card anytime in the near future, some big changes are in store for you. Tom Collier, our Buckmaster Show Consumer Affairs contributor, joins me now in studio. Tom, what is this all about?
Well, it's going to get more expensive to use a credit card as of Sunday, actually, when this went into effect. Retailers can tack on a surcharge of up to 4% onto your tab if you decide to pay by credit card. Now, it's complicated, but one of the things which may happen is, because of the complications, not a lot of retailers may start doing that because it may drive customers away. So what we need to do is, before we understand, as the consumer, when I'm using my credit card and putting it through the card swipe, all the stuff that goes on in the background in that gray box at the cash register.
Yeah, the backstory.
Right. Yeah. That stuff, I don't usually know about that, but it does affect me. There's a thing called the interchange fee, which is essentially what the merchant who takes the card pays to the issuer of the credit card in order for all the clearing and that type of stuff to take place when you use that credit card. There's a second level of fees where the credit card issuer takes a percentage of what it is that you bought, but the interchange fee is essentially, you can think of it as a surtax on being able to use all that electronics in those boxes.
And that's typically 1-4%, right, an interchange fee?
It can be. Usually more like 2%
okay.
Now.
Okay.
But if you've ever walked into a store, and I'm thinking usually it's a non-chain convenience store where they have this hand-lettered sign at the cash register which says, use your credit card, we're going to charge you more. That used to be forbidden by the credit card issuers. And you could get the merchant in trouble if you said, we're not going to pay that fee and you're not allowed to charge it. As of Sunday, they are allowed to charge it up to 4%.
Do they have to notify you beforehand?
Yes.
There has to be a sign or something?
Yeah, this is all the result of a U.S. District Court decision that last year that said that merchants are allowed to pass along the cost of the credit card interchange fee to their customers. Now, that's still being disputed, and it may go all the way to the Supreme Court. But a lot of consumer advocates are saying that it is really a slippery slope, because if you stop and think about it, even a national sales tax of 2 or 3 or 4% were being proposed. You know, I mean, everybody would be up in arms, but this is something which happens behind the scenes. So it's one of those things which may or may not take place. But because it's required to be posted, mm-hmm. you have to tell the customers either at the cash register or on the front door that you're going to be charging back to them, making them pay or repay your interchange fee. That may be a tactical disadvantage, particularly to the larger stores that have a larger volume of people who pay by credit card. Mm-hmm. Smaller merchants, I don't know. It's just one of those things which people need to be cautious about and look for. The sign and the decision whether or not that particular merchant is going to charge back to you the interchange fee.
But you don't know what the interchange fee is going to be until after the card has
the
been swiped.
The catch 22. You don't know what it is until you get up to the card swipe.
Okay. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well,
and the other thing is the good thing about this is that it only applies to credit cards. It does not apply to debit cards. More and more people are using their debit cards as a way to pay by cash, and I don't know if you can hear the quotes around cash, but to pay by cash, but it does not apply to debit card use. Now, I have not been able to determine, and my sources haven't been able to tell me, most debit cards are either issued by MasterCard or Visa, mm-hmm. and they can be used using the charge system.
Indeed they can.
So I am not clear on whether or not this fee would apply if you used a debit card that was run through the credit card charging system. But if you just use it as a straight debit card where you enter your PIN, then the surcharge cannot be charged.
Tom Collier is with us, the Buckmaster Show contributor on consumer affairs, talking about this new interchange fee that could be passed back to the consumers. I understand that you can get jail time now for tampering with a cell phone.
Take out your cell phone and look at it right now.
Okay.
I want you to take out your cell phone and look at it, because that thing could send you to jail and cost you $50,000.
Wow.
As of Monday, if you decide to jailbreak it. Now, what is jailbreaking?
Well,
I'm glad you asked, Bill.
Jailbreaking.
It's a fancy term for hacking.
Okay.
So what happens when you buy a cell phone? You choose from among the, I don't know, half a dozen providers in our country who sell cell phones, hardware and software. And it is in their best interest to keep you in their corral, if you will, on their company, using their hardware, their software, their cell phone towers, their equipment, and paying their bills. Let me give you an example of what jailbreaking is. I have a cell phone which has an app on it for Facebook. I don't use Facebook, never will use Facebook, but I can't remove it in case I need extra space on my cell phone.
Right.
Because it is hardwired into my carrier's decision to provide the software and all the guts, if you will, the innards of that particular cell phone. There are several other pieces of software called apps on my cell phone that I cannot remove, and I would like to remove because, frankly, I need the space on the cell phone for extra documents and things like that. There are instructions, and you can find them for practically any carrier on the internet. Just Google it and Google the word jailbreak. And it will tell you how to hack the software on your cell phone so that you can then remove the proprietary apps, the proprietary applications that cell phone provider put on that particular brand of phone to keep you in their thrall, if you will, paying their fees, paying them instead of paying somebody else. A perfect example of why people would want to jailbreak their cell phone would be if you remember the fiasco back in November over Apple's Maps app,
yeah.
You know, where it was sending people off cliffs.
And yeah, inaccurate to say the least, right?
Wasn't appearing accurate on the mm-hmm. particular cell phone you were using. So they killed that and went back to another provider.
What is cell phone flashing?
Don't have a clue.
Oh, that was
is my cell phone flashing right now?
Yes.
It's similar. I'm going to guess right here that it's similar to going ahead and jailbreaking your phone so that you have the authority and the freedom to put whatever applications you want on it.
It's where someone steals a phone and wipes its identity to sell back on the black market.
Well, I learned something.
Aren't
you kind?
Thank you very much, Rosemary Brandt, giving us the latest on cell phone flashing. Tom Collier, thanks a lot for being with us.
You bet, Bill. Thank you.
Bottled water to all of our guests on the Buckmaster Show is provided by Culligan, offering the best drinking water and the largest variety of water treatment products and services available to your home or business. Culligan water, folks, it simply tastes better. This afternoon from 3 to 5, it's the John C. Scott Show, the Dean of Local Talk here in Tucson. And then tomorrow morning, 6 to 8, it's Wake Up Tucson with Chris and Joe. We'll be with you tomorrow on the Buckmaster Show beginning at 12:04. One of our featured guests tomorrow will be Congressman Raul Grijalva. That is coming up on the Buckmaster Show tomorrow. I am Bill Buckmaster. Thank you for listening. Have a great afternoon.
This is Michael Medved. Stay tuned for more Intelligent Talk on AM 1030 KVOI, Cortero, Tucson, The Voice.